friends, we warmly welcome you again to another 30 minutes of Radio Fellowship. This is Harry Venton hosting today's program of Times of Refreshing, a program of gospel music and a spoken message from the Word of God, brought to you under the auspices of the Voice of Melody Victoria. It is our prayer through our ministry today that God will speak to your heart, and you will be uplifted and spiritually blessed as our colleague Ralph Taylor shares with you the third topic of our series on future events entitled The 1,000-Year Reign of Christ on the Earth. This is an important topic, and we trust you will be challenged to consider your personal relationship to Jesus Christ. Let's listen together now and enjoy our first recording, the song entitled Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King of Lords. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice.
Opening our program with that beautiful song of majestic praise to our Lord Jesus Christ should remind us of the Hallelujah song we read of in Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through to 6. The chorus that will be sung by every born-again believer in heaven, celebrating the long-awaited marriage supper of the Lamb. This will be a wonderful time of great rejoicing, being in the presence of the Lord God Omnipotent, who reigneth for ever and ever. Friends, after we listen to our next recording, Ralph Taylor will follow with his devotion for today.
Thus far in these series of messages, we have seen what the Bible says about the rapture. That glorious coming event when all those who love the Lord Jesus as their Saviour are caught up to meet Him in the air, forever to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first phase of the second coming of Christ. Then, after the rapture, 7 years elapse before the next event of the second coming. We have seen, during this 7 years, the tribulation occurring on earth, while all believers are enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. Then, as the tribulation period draws to a close, Christ will come again. This is truly the second coming. This time, Christ comes with His entire company of saints and sets foot on this earth again. His purpose in coming is to finally settle the old score with Satan. Christ and the angels will do battle with the Antichrist, with the battle centering around a place in the Middle East called Armageddon. In this battle, the forces of the Antichrist will be marshalled against the hosts of the Lord. It is really the whole kingdom of God against the whole kingdom of Satan. This battle is spoken of as the great winepress of the wrath of God. In Revelation chapter 14 and verses 7 to 20, and also in Revelation 19 and verses 11 to 19. No conflict in history compares with this one. The army and the slaughter will encompass the whole land. The land will literally flow with blood, the Bible tells us. The Lord will come forth in power to execute judgment in the earth. And the power of the Antichrist will be immediately broken. We read in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8. He and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire. And we read about this in Revelation 17 and verse 8 and Revelation 19 and verse 20. And the armies assembled against the people of God will be destroyed. And we read about that in Revelation 17 and verse 14. It is at this time that Satan will be bound and cast into the bottomless pit. Revelation 20 and verses 1 and 2. Now notice here the different destinations of Satan and the Antichrist at this time. The Antichrist is cast into the lake of fire, but not Satan. The Antichrist goes into the lake of fire forever. Satan into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, as we will see, Satan will be loosed. The Antichrist never again will be loosed. This marks his final doom. This is the phase of Christ's second coming spoken of as his coming with his saints. And this occurs, we are told, immediately after the tribulation. With this descent of Christ from heaven to this earth, the millennium will begin. Let us read how the Bible describes this glorious event. And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19 and verses 11 to 16. Yes, Christ is coming back to usher in the period in God's plan called the millennium. This word is from the Latin words milli, which means 1,000, and annum, which means year. This then is a 1,000-year period of time when Christ will set up his kingdom and rule the entire world. This will be the fulfillment of God's promise to honour his Son, Jesus, and give unto him the throne of his father David. Christ's purpose for the millennium is to honour those saints who have been faithful and to make them rulers over many. This will be his fulfillment of the promise, and the meek shall inherit the earth, Matthew 5 and verse 5. It will also be another opportunity for tested obedience and love. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 2 to 4 that Jerusalem will be the centre of the earth during this time. And from this we can discover who the inhabitants of the millennium will be. In Hebrews chapter 11 we find that the Old Testament saints will be part of the inhabitants of this kingdom. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 22 and 23 tells us further. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Here we have three classes of occupants for this age. The church of the firstborn can be none other than all those who have received Jesus Christ as their personal Saviour, the blood-bought Christians of the church age. The innumerable company of angels are those ministering spirits who were created by God to worship him. And the spirits of just men made perfect is another confirmation of the Old Testament saints who will reside in the holy city. In addition to these immortal beings, the weight of Scripture suggests that mortal beings will also inhabit the millennial earth. These are Jews and Gentiles alike who, after surviving the tribulation, will accept the returning Messiah as their Lord. We read in Matthew 25 and verses 31 to 46. Life in the millennium will be the fulfillment of the dream of every human being that has ever lived. It will be a literal heaven on earth. The Bible, and especially the Old Testament, has given us an amazing description of what life in the millennium will be like. It will be a time of world peace. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4. The inhabitants will enjoy lasting joy and happiness. Isaiah chapter 12 and verses 3 to 6. Righteousness and holiness will be a way of life also. Holiness will be an obvious quality in Christ's leadership. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 23 and verse 6. There will be a great change in the spiritual condition of mankind during this time. The millennium is a new dispensation, not the end of the world. And human nature will not be changed any more than when we moved from the dispensation of the law, the Old Testament, into the dispensation of grace, the New Testament. So it will not be a time of absolute sinlessness, but there will be no vicious sin such as we have today. For Satan has been bound. There will be no absolute perfection, for if that were the case, there would be no need for a new heaven and a new earth later on. The scriptures tell us also that the millennium will bustle with great activity. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. We read in Isaiah 65 and verses 21 and 22. The Bible tells us that for those who live in their natural bodies during the millennium, healing will be part of their lives. The centre for this health program will be the Tree of Life in the Holy City. We read in Revelation 22 and verse 2. Christ will also restore health to those who enter into the millennium with some sort of deformity. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 5 and 6 says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert." The thread of life will be lengthened also. In the dawn of human history, sin and hereditary diseases were not as prevalent as today, so human beings had long lives. Methuselah reached 969 years. But as centuries passed, the length of life was shortened. Abraham lived to be only 175 and Moses 120. And then came the statement that man's life should be 70 years. In spite of all the science, today man's average lifespan is much less than that. But in the millennium, the power of sin will be curtailed to such an extent that the period of life will be lengthened, and it is quite possible that people in that day will live as long as they did in those early days. We read in Isaiah chapter 65 and verses 19 and 20. The millennium will be a time of great prosperity also. With Christ as its head, the kingdom will operate without greed or waste of any kind. The earth itself will be restored to its original productivity. It will be the kind of economic system that heads of state have dreamed of since time began. This great abundance will cause the inhabitants of the millennial kingdom to give praise and glory to Christ, their King and Provider. Amos chapter 9 and verses 13 and 14, and Joel chapter 2 and verses 24 to 26 tells us about this. The Bible also tells us that this great society will be characterized by one universal language also. We read in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 9. Many prophecies through the scriptures describe what our worship will be like in the millennial kingdom. It goes without saying that we will enjoy the presence of Jesus Christ as King of Kings. The Bible also promises that we will enjoy the abiding presence of God the Father. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Revelation 21 and verse 3. In addition to the presence of God, we will also enjoy the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3. "And it shall come to pass that from one moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord." Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 23. Yes, my dear friends, with God's divine presence so near, our worship will be spontaneous and universal. And all this, the Bible tells us, will last for 1,000 years.
Thank you. can see you in power, my sword and my shield.
You see you beyond your glorious throne.
In a concise manner, we have sought to present to you a clear picture of events relating to the millennium. As we conclude this topic on the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, there is one further thought to leave with you during the millennium. The nation of Israel, who once rejected their Messiah nearly 2,000 years ago, for them it will be a time of great importance. They will look upon the Lord Jesus and see the wounds that he received in his body when he died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. When they look upon him whom they crucified, seeing his wounded feet and side, his nail-pierced hands and thorn-scarred brow, they will inquire of him, their Messiah, in the words as they are recorded in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6. What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer them with these words: these wounds are those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 we read, every eye shall see him, that is our Lord Jesus, and they also who pierced him. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10 says, Israel shall look upon him whom they pierced. My dear friends, the pierced hands and feet, the wounded side, the thorn-crowned brow, the severely lacerated back was all for you and for me. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5 we read, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. And verse 12 says, he bore the sin of many, and in his sufferings made intercession for the transgressors. His wounds reveal to us how much he loved us. Though he was without sin, he was willing to suffer and die for us, so that we might have eternal life. And through believing and receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Saviour and Lord, we will have the joy of reigning with him throughout all eternity.
Yeah.
closing our time together, we remind you that today's program has been recorded on cassette and is made available to you free and postpaid. We will be pleased upon receipt of your letter to send you a free cassette copy of program number 953. Our mailing address is Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale, 31400. The program number is 953, and the address again is Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale, 31400. Our broadcast today has been a radio missionary outreach of the Christian Brethren Assemblies of Victoria and is made possible by God's provision through His people. Friends, be sure you are tuned next week for the last of our series of four messages on prophetic topics with Ralph Taylor. We'll be looking forward to your company. Now, on behalf of the Voice of Melody team, this is Harry Benton wishing you God's richest blessing. Goodbye for now, and remember, keep looking up.